All right, and welcome back to the Coast to Coast to Coast podcast. I'm your host, Chad, and for the first time in a long time, and for no reason in particular, we have the entire crew with us today. Out on the East Coast, we have Dale, and up north, we have Chip and Jim. Welcome to another week, guys.
Hello, hello, hello. It's good to be back. I had COVID, and so did my computer, apparently.
Yeah. Happy New Year, gentlemen. It's good to be back and good to talk to you.
I'm glad we waited for, like, the worst week that I can think of to all come together for this. For the first time in, like, a month. It should have been probably for a victory podcast, but sadly it's not. This is another venting Tuesday, I guess, for the pod, as the Browns went down hard to the Pittsburgh Steelers this week, and it raises a lot of questions and a lot of frustration. But before we get into that, hey, Happy New Year, fellas.
Happy New Year.
2022.
Cheers. And good riddance.
Cheers.
We didn't open it on the best note, but things are looking up coming into the future. I just know it. You guys have any non-COVID related interesting holiday stuff going on?
Not holiday stuff, but
just we got some snowstorm came through here pretty bad last couple days. So kids and wife have been home, their work and schools and everything has been closed. The major freeway that runs throughout the eastern entire United States has been closed for a day and a half with people stuck on it.
How many?
We got about 10.
Holy shit.
And my brother-in-law, who's about 15 minutes away, has not had power for like 40 hours, and they can't get out of their driveway.
Dang. I didn't know it was like that. Yeah.
They actually, they just cleared up tonight the stopped freeway. So,
oh man.
Some progress, but we got lucky. We only lost power for a few hours, but it's actually been fun to get outside with the kids in the snow, because we generally don't get very much snow here. We get like a couple inches a year. So silver lining, at least for us.
Yeah.
Good. We haven't seen any snow really. But 2022 has kicked off pretty good for myself. Nothing really to complain about here in the Casper Check House. So
there we go. Bills are in the playoffs. I'm looking good here.
Yeah, thank goodness something's going good for somebody. That's at least a bright spot for you. Who's not in the playoffs? The Cleveland Browns. We got just embarrassed this weekend, and I guess this Monday, and we have all been kind of venting frustrations through the day, but I think the big news coming out of that game is that now that the Browns are absolutely eliminated, Baker looks to be done for the season. And
sorry to interrupt you, Chad. That's such a punk ass move by him.
Could be. Yeah, I would have had him do it 2 weeks ago, but who knew for sure that the Bengals were going to pull that win off, so I think they were just trying to
through. I think to Jim's point is, like, why do it the last game of the year? You should have probably done it a long time ago or acknowledged it, but you
you're so tough. You can play these other games, but now you can't play this game because it's meaningless. Like, fuck you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a tough way to present it. It's almost like he's like, I don't want to see my backup in, so I'm going to drag this team down with me. And then the last week, I'm going to go get my surgery.
Yeah,
but I mean, I think that could just be bitter, angry Browns fan.
I think if they were out of playoff contention 3 weeks ago, he just would have had it then. I think he was dragging out, really believing that he was actually going to be capable of taking this team to the playoffs, which is clearly never going to happen. He got worse every single week. But he's out now. He's having his surgery. It's like an 8-month rehab. So I guess every second is going to count, because he's not going to get fully back until probably August. at this point sometime. So it's going to be sometime in training camp when he's actually full contact, full go, pretty close to full strength. He probably won't be full strength, but he'll be fully cleared for contact and for game activity. So I don't know. I don't think there's really any reason for him to even have played yesterday, except for the fact that they, before something, thought they could have.
Chad, it sounds like, so maybe I'm off a little bit, but are you thinking his recovery timetable is that long?
Yes.
That's a pretty significant surgery.
Yeah, I would think 5 months of rehab without game, or I mean without football activity, and then probably a couple months of combined rehab and game type act or football type activity.
Yeah, he's gonna have to build muscle back up too, because I mean during that time his arm isn't doing anything.
Right. So the first 5 months are what I would call pretty pure rehab.
Luckily, it's his non-throwing arm
rebuilding. Right, and that's a huge difference. That makes a huge difference. So he doesn't need to be able to have all of his strength to build up, but that's sort of the timetable. It's a pretty long recovery for the surgery. So, and it was a bad injury. It stinks. I've said before, I can't think of any quarterback who's played with an injury that significant on either arm. So I know some guys have tried to play through a rotator cuff tear here and there, but it just never works out. So it was a big one. I think a lot of stuff got taken off of our brains because it was on his non-throwing arm, or just because he's been injured so long. Chip had mentioned earlier, you know, I think a lot of people just sort of over time started just disregarding the injury as counting for anything because it just became very normal. But I still think it counted. We'll get into it later.
Right. Like, there was a long period of time where I forgot this was even a thing. Like, I forgot he was even injured. We just stopped acknowledging it. I even forgot what the injury was.
You had to acknowledge it when he played bad because he made you acknowledge it. But when he played good, oh, see, look, I'm fine. But bad, it's always like.
He didn't have very much good. I think he played like one good game with it injured.
Chad, so staying kind of on the topic but off a little bit, what is the kind of what's the status or the process for the foot injury? Because obviously the shoulders cause a lot of issues, and we talked a little offline about what's a good play style for him and things like that, and being able to play action and roll out and things like that. It wasn't the shoulder keeping him from doing that. His foot's been part of the problem too. So do we have any idea of an update where that is or what that looks like? Is it just rest or?
That one is just going to be rest. I think that's one where running around on it was still, it still probably was healing even with him running on it. It'll heal better with rest. It's time. I would say even more than rest. It's just time. He can do things on it. He's going to avoid pounding on it. He's probably going to keep a boot for a short time to give it a real break. But that's probably just time, even more than rest. And then, the injury he had will just be time. Those will be fine. They mostly hindered his mobility, and those did make him. It was rough because you lose your the shoulder. The basic idea is it's not going to heal on its own. So he has to learn to adapt to it and just try not to make it worse by getting sacked. And then with his knee and foot, he's just even less mobile than he already was. And he just got pounded. So,
right. And he couldn't play the style of game that suits him the best. So
yeah, which is him moving around, which I don't love, but it is definitely the way he likes to play the game. So
him we'll outside of the pocket. Idea.
Yeah. We'll get a real idea as things progress, probably into the summer, how he looks. I would expect a pretty full recovery. It's weird because he probably spent half of this season trying to rework his mechanics to account for the fact that his shoulder was kind of pulled and pressed to his side, and now he's going to have to go back to a real normal mechanic. So I hope he's getting a ton of coaching. And that's that. But does anybody have, you know, what's the best way to put it? I guess it's probably going to matter because he is most likely going to be on this team. Do any of you guys think he's not going to be on this team? Because I've heard two or three reports today of a lot of Browns reporters saying that was probably his last game with the Browns.
Really? That seems surprising to me. I find it very unlikely that we make a move for a quarterback in the offseason because, one, there really just aren't many available. And, two, I just don't see our GM and coach mortgaging the future for – I mean, there's what, one guy to go for?
There are quarterbacks out there and available, but, like, the price tag is not in the ballpark.
Yeah. And we don't have the money to do it. Like, we spent all of our money.
We spent it all on commercials for Baker Mayfield.
Here we go.
He's made too many commercials. He ain't going anywhere. I highly doubt he's going anywhere. But if it's for anybody, the only person I could see is Deshaun Watson because his price is simply – you don't have to trade for him, right?
Yeah, you do.
You do.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, he's under contract another two years.
Damn, I thought we could just get him.
No, so it's
they signed before this whole thing came up. He had just signed like a 4-year extension.
Yeah,
yeah.
Baker is basically in the golf zone where you're sending him picks for anything else back.
Yeah, and that's just where we can't afford him going anywhere. No, I don't see him going anywhere. We're gonna stick with him because he also has the thing about the injury is he's gonna play that card to his advantage and say, "I had a bad year. I was injured."
But it doesn't matter. We have him under contract next year. Yeah. So there's
he's on the Kirk Cousins plan.
So I heard this one place, Dale. Can you confirm that the only interested party so far for trading for Baker Mayfield, who is very tradable because he has a lower contract, is your Washington football team? Confirm or deny?
Oh, I haven't heard that. That's interesting. Nothing would surprise me with that disaster of a soon to be named something else in a month, which I really hope they go football club.
Honestly, I think Tyler Heinicke is a better quarterback. So why would they even?
He is not. And you made a terrible trade. You have to live with that. But that's here or there. He's not. Okay, full stop. But yeah, the whole contract stuff, there aren't guys that are that much better that are available. Like, oh, you go get Garoppolo. Like, it's going to cost you Garoppolo. Something. It's going to cost you something, and he plays less games than Baker does. He's always hurt. I like him, but he's always hurt.
But he'll at least tell you he's hurt, and he won't play. He'll sit his
That's a good point. That's a good point.
Take control.
Now that's a good point.
Yeah, good. Then we can keep his former backup, and the two of them can play back and forth for last place in the division like they did together.
What the hell's the difference? We're already doing that. We've been doing it.
Because the difference is, if you're just going to do that, you might as well just tank and try to find a quarterback. Why would you trade and spend money for somebody equal to Baker in any way, even close?
Yeah, well, here's
assets that you need to make your team better in order to stay the same. That doesn't make sense.
You just never go full Sashi. Like we,
yeah.
Everyone knows that now. You can go like partial Sashi, just not full Sashi.
In the argument of making your team better, the thing that scares me, Chad, is in the beginning of the year, this was a desirable place to be. There were, you know, free agents that probably wanted to come here because they thought this was a good place to be. I can't say that going into next year. I think that receivers aren't going to want to come here because they saw what happened to Odell and they see the complete dysfunction and the decline of Baker. And I don't think defensive players are going to want to come here either. Like, who's going to want to come here and help us win?
Well, on that point, Jadeveon Clowney just announced like 3 days ago that he wants to be here and sign here. So,
But he's already here. I'm saying, like, you know, who's a free agent out there?
Anybody.
Yeah, you're not attracting anybody.
Yeah, but Clowney has been trying to leave everywhere he's been for the last 3 years, and this is the first place he said, I actually do want to stay here. So, that would make me think if he's so hard to please and he's –
Well, defense. Defense has actually shown up. They saw the adjustments that they needed to make. Hopefully, Joe Woods realized, like, holy shit, I sucked it up for a little bit. I need to change something. This was on me, and did it. And so, it's probably enjoyable being on that defense when you're having success. The only thing that sucks
I'm sure they're getting tired
on the goddamn field.
Yeah, I'm sure they're getting tired. To your point, though, Chip, I wouldn't totally disagree. If I was a receiver, I wouldn't come anywhere near this team because they like they know how to run a receiving offense. And the quarterback had a terrible year and is now going to have surgery without a guarantee that he's going to be, you know, good.
Yeah, unfortunately, you're going to have to draft somebody and ruin their career.
Yeah, at receiver, that's tough. But
I'll tell you my little quiet, my little secret desire that I wasn't announcing to anybody, but I'll bring it out now. And I'm reading now that he's looking like he's a franchise tag player, but wide receiver Devontae Adams.
I thought maybe
I was like, maybe he would play good with Baker.
Yeah, right, dude. That dude Jesus.
But yeah, I'm seeing now that it looks like franchise tag him.
Yeah, even if they did it, like I can't imagine he's not going to try to go to the whoever can just gun the ball to him.
Hey, a Cleveland guy can dream, okay?
Yeah.
Let a Cleveland man dream.
You have the right to hope.
Hey, I mean, good news. Odell has as many touchdowns since week 12 as DPJ, Landry, and Higgins have the whole season. So
it's the Fansky, man. He just cannot make receivers successful.
I think he did fine with Diggs and Thielen, but yeah, there's so much right now that I think it's too hard to point to one thing. It's fair to be mad about everything.
But Jim, think about this. I somewhat disagree with you there. I think Thielen, who is a sort of possession receiver who's just going to get a million receptions, who I would compare, even though he's, well, maybe similar now, but who I'd compare a lot closer to Jarvis, was pretty successful minus the injuries in this offense. And then Diggs, who's a lot closer to Odell and maybe not quite as sporadic or all over the place as Odell, but has that sort of, I'm going to find a way to get myself open and the receivers just got to see that I'm doing it and give me the ball. Had so much trouble in Minnesota. It just seems to compare so nicely to the fact that Jarvis, when him and Baker were both healthy, did pretty well in this offense. And then Odell, who is that big play down the field receiver, just like Diggs, completely crumbled in the Stefanski offense. And both looked immediately better the second they went to a different style. And that is a little bit disheartening, but also it sort of has a nice parallel, right?
Yeah, very good. Yeah, very good.
Yeah, I just it just makes me wonder if I guess. But Chad, not going to be able to figure out what to do with them?
What is our offensive identity? Because I don't know.
You think
that we're a run first team,
dude?
But
that is such a good question. No, we're run on first down and throw two incompletions later. That's what we are.
That is a great point. And actually, that's worth talking about. We should get into that a little bit. Number one, I'm just going to open it by saying I hate to do this, but I totally got into a Twitter or an Instagram argument on the Browns backers page. I totally got into an argument with this guy who said something like, the receivers here have trouble because we are a run-based, run-first offense. And I just responded. I didn't mean to make it a huge thing, but I said, if we're a run-based, run-first offense, why does our lead back end up with like 12 to 14 carries a game, despite the fact that he averages like 6 yards a carry for the season? And it turned into this big argument, but it never came back to the idea of, well, you know, are we only a run first offense because we have Chubb and because in the preseason everybody said we should be a run offense? We all still think that, but we just don't do it. So yeah.
That's a great point. Yeah, we're not a run first offense. That's a really
Titans
good point.
We're a run first offense.
Yeah.
The Steelers. I don't know what kind of offense we are. I don't think Stefanski knows.
Who just said the Steelers?
I did. They're run first, aren't they?
Somebody please look up for me how many carries that running back had yesterday compared to Nick Chubb.
Oh, well, every time I roster him on my fantasy carries. League, so I know he carries the rock.
Pittsburgh ran the ball
31
times. We ran it 20.
See, how does that happen? We're at the Steelers. Yeah. The Steelers ran first
yesterday. patience and understanding.
They were also, I mean, that's also a little game script. They were ahead of us the whole game. There was no need to pass at such a high level, even though
we had four carries at the half, and they were down
ahead
seven
of us the whole game. Yeah, they were ahead of us the whole game. Zero, they were never more than a score ahead of us when we weren't running the ball already. We get down by like three, and we're like, well, I guess we better stop running. We're down now. And then we stay down because that's what we do best.
Yeah. Or even, but even when you have a lead, you're like, oh shit, cool, we're winning. Let's slow it down and do nothing.
It's tough because I'm generally not a fan of running the football. Like, just there's a reason three-pointers are good in basketball. Passing is better for your offense. But when your team can't do it,
yeah,
and your quarterback is hurt and you have Nick Chubb.
Well, I think exactly. I think when you are averaging 8 yards a carry on the ground, but you're averaging 0 for 10 passing, you might want to start running.
Yeah.
It's not rocket science.
Hey, that was first time this season a quarterback went for 10 straight incompletions. So,
well, to be fair, stats. Three of them were dropped and two of them were batted down because apparently he's getting shorter.
He had four batted down, man.
Yeah.
I assume those were all batted
down. He had four batted down. I believe four receiver drops. And I think what I read was he caused
batted passes.
Yeah. He caused four of his own nine. Well, first of all, nine sacks is outrageous. That offensive line is garbage. I'm tired of hearing, just like we're a run-first team, I'm tired of hearing how good our offensive line was. The offensive line stunk yesterday, but I did read that he was responsible for four of the sacks himself by holding onto the ball after an open receiver for more than like 2 or 3 seconds.
Yeah.
But and then there's five more in addition to that. So. So who, what do we do and who's to blame? Is this a Stefanski issue? We've already covered Baker and we know he stinks this year. So to what Dale just said, that the quarterback can't really throw the ball. The line can't pass block well. I think all of us think we should have been running. Who, what do we do?
This whole situation, the whole situation between Baker and Stefanski smells like shit to me. It's like, when you listen to the post game or like any type of interviews with either one of them, they're never on the same page. It's like, they're always at odds with each other. And Stefanski's like putting Baker in garbage situations to fail and look crappy and say, yeah, see, ain't me, it's you. But then Baker is, I mean, he's not really showing anything to prove himself otherwise, but I don't think that that's a very good relationship right now between the two. And I don't know what you do to fix that.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Something fishy is going on there. I don't know what. I have no idea. But I can say this. It ruined our season.
It did.
I think that, you know, going into this season, everyone nationally, not just us, had us as like a, you know, top 8 ranked team in the NFL.
Chip, on paper, they had us in the Super Bowl, man.
Yeah, people had us in the Super Bowl. I mean, I was trying not to talk it up too much, but yeah, I mean, it was, the expectations were very high in the beginning of the season, and rightfully so. I don't know what happened between Baker and Stefanski, or if these injuries were the real deal that maybe we are all overlooking, but something ruined our season there.
Yeah, so ruined. We all debated the injuries earlier, so I'll just say I think I'm more on the injury thing than most people. I think it sounded like Chip, you and Jim were pretty fed up with Baker at this point. Yeah. The only reason I sat on the injury thing so long is because I know what a significant injury it is, but also because I just thought, looking at the numbers over the 3 years and even the game, you know, and before the injury, all those games he played added up, it wasn't perfect, but seems like a totally different and very similar person. And then the after injury, one of these days, somebody's going to release these stats and I'd love to see him. Baker before that hit in the Texans game to his shoulder and Baker after. And I'd love to see if it's as much as I feel like it is in my head, where it was just two different people. But one thing I can't argue with, and I was thinking about after we were all talking about it, was you know, I said the best chance we had of getting anywhere significant wasn't playing Case Keenum, because I just don't think he takes you very far. I think it was Baker figuring it out. But didn't the exact opposite thing happen? Didn't Baker just tend to look worse and worse every week this season?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at the last, just say, 8 games, he just got worse and worse. He got less accurate. He held the ball longer. He threw more interceptions, more batted down balls. He did the opposite of adapt to the injury, figure out new mechanics, and overcome it. He just got looked like he just got into his own head, started hesitating on throws, or started trying to force things once.
But Stefanski didn't adapt either, Chad, and that's the problem. Baker didn't adapt.
Yeah.
And neither did Stefanski. And so you have these two fucking egos out there. And it just, those two single-handedly ruined the season.
Yeah. And it's hard not to argue the Stefanski thing you just said, because Baker, I mean, I don't want to use it as an excuse because, like I said, it looks like he got worse. I think a lot of this bad play stemmed from the injury, but he made himself worse by making poor decisions the longer the season went on. And there, I don't think the injury got worse. I think he got more frustrated and more in his head. I'm not sure what Stefanski's excuse is for why he showed zero adjustment and why he looked so much
worse. The only thing I could think of, and this is just me making this up in my mind, it may or may not be any relevant, but the only thing I can think of in Stefanski's defense is that maybe Haslam was in his ear, like, look, if Baker wants to play, you play him. And maybe Stefanski was like, okay, yeah, I'll play him. Watch how shitty he'll be. Other than that, I can't think of a reason why Stefanski would just put Baker in such a terrible position.
I feel like Haslam has learned his lesson. He has to, you know?
I was just going to say, I hope that never comes out that was the case, because that would be so freaking frustrating.
You will have Browns fans trying to
beat Haslam. There's least surprising things.
Yeah,
that would happen, but I think there's so much of it, and Chip, you mentioned the injury stuff or not focusing. I think we focused on it so much. It's just been such a part of everything. It just, everything is permeated, whether it's been him, the line, everybody. We talked about it before. It is what it is. He's going to be the starting quarterback next year, barring something crazy or injury or something. And I really hate to be in a just, well, there's always next year, but it really seems like it's going to kind of be it. Because either Stefanski is going to run the offense in a way we agree with, which nobody agreed with what happened on Monday night, and Baker's going to be healthy and he's either going to play well or not well, and it's going to be super clear to us. I think we're kind of all going to be wondering until we actually get to see it. I think we're just going to be stuck because there was just too much going on to be able to say it was one thing. Like, it may have just been everyone.
Dale, are you even excited for next year?
I was going to say the same thing, Jim. And no, I'm not. Because I feel like we're only getting worse. I don't see us getting better.
Yeah.
I actually am. So I'll go the other way, because it's a huge if to say if we stay healthy, because it hasn't happened. But if we're healthy, we will know in the first 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Are we good going forward, or are we drafting a guy in the top, or are we making a move, whatever it is? But like, we're going to know I feel like we'll have a good idea on the future of the franchise next year.
I'm going to really frustrate you.
In what we thought it was like 2 years ago or a year ago, what we thought we were going to be, that's not it. We were
wrong. That's the frustrating part about the whole Cleveland Browns, man, is that we're constantly in this fucking carousel of like, yes, we're finally good. Oh my God, I'm so excited. Then it's like, no, here we go. Here we go again. And I just, I'm feeling emotions that I don't even know that I have.
Well, that's going to frustrate you a little bit, because I think the big thing with the beginning of next season is going to be Baker's coming off that injury, and obviously quarterback's the most important piece. And like you said, we're going to see right away in the first couple of weeks. I will probably, as I did with the defense this year, care about I don't know, a 1 month cushion to get things figured out coming off the surgery, because it just typically looks like you need a couple games under your belt once you have a major surgery of almost any kind to get your feet wet and get going. But you're right, by sometime during October next year, we're probably going to know whether this thing has some longevity or whether we're just spinning our wheels, starting to look for the next quarterback.
But Chad, Baker's going to need a receiver to throw to. Landry's getting older. Donovan Peoples doesn't seem to be the guy I thought he was. He seems to be, I don't know if it's he's giving up on routes or what. He's never where he needs to be.
He's just inconsistent. He's really inconsistent. You're right. He shows such great flashes, and then he drops two balls in a row or is in the wrong place, and you're so frustrated with, where was that guy from?
That from preseason.
Last drive, that amazing one-handed catch just a minute ago. So, yeah.
But that being said, I guess what I'm listing here is who the hell is he throwing to next year?
First-round draft pick is Olave.
But I'm hoping it's Chris Olave, maybe Wilson, but... But that being said, you know, rookies, you can't depend on them the way that, you know, we need a receiver to come here, and who's going to want to come here?
Nobody. I really do think it's going to come down to a draft pick and a possession receiver in free agency. You're right. Yeah. Jarvis is getting pretty long in the tooth, and I don't know what you guys thought about his performance yesterday, but he's getting pretty healthy. He looked so slow. And what was sad was he was our best receiver probably yesterday, and he caught a couple balls, but watching him trying to change directions or come off a route.
Yeah.
Painful. He looked like he didn't care.
Motivation
is just gone.
In Baker's defense, there were a lot of drops this season, not even just yesterday, this season. Yeah. There was a lot of drops. Hooper probably had one or two a game alone.
Hooper sucks. He should.
I mean, I'm talking hitting him right in the hands.
Yeah, it was a lot of drops. Him, Peoples Jones, Anthony Schwartz. It was a really, really inconsistent team. And I just, like I said, the sad news was the line couldn't pass block. The receivers couldn't catch. And that didn't help Baker. It doesn't excuse him, because he made bad decisions and he looked bad. But when that's the case, I think the only way you succeed is everybody else stepping up. And I don't think anybody would say that. Everybody else just took a step back and basically crumbled. Yeah. It brings me up to one of the only 3 points I put on the outline was, I have this note here that the Steelers are not good. I still don't believe the Steelers are good, but they are tough. And the Browns, very clearly after playing them the last two times, are not tough. Under the lights, and they get outmanned by players who aren't as young or athletic or good as them. They're just not tough.
Except for Nick Chubb,
who doesn't get enough touches.
He murdered a person. Their poor family had to watch that.
That was, and so, and that could have happened a lot more, but he only had four freaking carries in the first half. But what I want to say about the Steelers really quick, though, is I got to take my hat off to Mike Tomlin. He is coaching the hell out of that team. I read a stat the other day. Maybe Dale, you'll know more to me. But he had some over 500 record for like.
He doesn't have a losing season.
Yeah. He's never had a losing season?
No.
Never.
Okay. I mean, that must be nice.
See, it wasn't even something you thought was possible. You're like,
Yesterday, them winning means no matter what, they finish 500.
Yeah.
And so it's locked
in. So he's still not going to have one.
Mm-hmm. We could have given him his first losing season if anybody had just shown up yesterday.
Good news. They're well coached. We didn't have any safeties, and it wasn't necessary. Didn't even matter.
They just toted the rock, man. Like we said, I know it was game script a little bit, but that run he broke at the end of the game when the Browns defense was just tired and beat up and sick of trying to tackle him is the run I've been waiting for from one of the Browns running backs, especially Nick Chubb, this whole season. and it never happens because they never run the ball enough to get to that point where it's 2 yards, 3 yards, 6 yards, 1 yard, 2 yards, 40 yards. I mean, Nick Chubb can do it. He does it all the time. I waited this whole year for that last drive where we can win the game. And every time we came to the last drive, it was pass, 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 punt, pass, pass, interception. Like, I'm waiting for that time where the game is on the line. We're either just in the lead or just behind. And we decide, you know what? We've been running on this team all week. Huddle up. They can't stop you. Block, run, let's go. And
yeah,
I don't think we're going to see it from this coaching staff, which leads me to wonder what your guys' opinion on. We're obviously not getting rid of Stefanski. I don't know that we should. I don't know that he failed as a head coach. What he failed at was an offensive coordinator position. And
yeah,
in my personal opinion, I don't know how he comes back next season without one, because he clearly can't handle that job. He could barely handle it in Minnesota. I think he shows good potential as a really young head coach with a lot more to learn and a lot of upside. I don't know how he comes back without an OC to start calling plays so he can focus on what he needs
to
focus on.
That's a really good point, Chad. And that is one of the very few scenarios that can make me feel better about going into next year. Because if you come in with the same setup you got this year, the same stubbornness, I'm not a happy Browns fan. But if you tell me, hey, I brought this guy in because I think Baker will strive underneath this offensive coordinator, I'm feeling pretty good.
I do. I will give a quick kudos, not that it's end of season awards time or anything, but just to Joe Woods. I know our, at least my kind of thoughts have definitely changed over the course of the year. And it was actually nice to see him. He got a lot of credit throughout the Manning cast and others just giving him a lot of credit for some of the schemes and plays that he was dialing up to confuse even someone like Ben, who's seen everything over playing 18 years, and to goad him into a couple of bad throws. That was cool to hear and see stuff that we just wouldn't have known because we are not as smart as NFL players.
But that's the thing, Dale. Like, and we talked about it, I remember, at the beginning of the year in our pods, like how bad the defense looked and how many games they cost us. And Joe Woods realized that, took ownership of it, and said, hey, that is not working. I need to do something different. And changed it. Made adjustments.
Yeah.
Sucked up his pride and did it.
Stefanski, I'll tell you this. He plays a lot of prevent.
Well, I think that's his – I don't know if I would call it prevent, but I know what you mean. He I think he just runs his front.
Plays it safe.
Yeah.
He plays it safe. But I'll tell you this. When you have Garrett and Board, you're going to play pretty good. You put those two guys on any team in the league, it's a good defense. That's the pass rush, lock up your number one receiver combo.
Yeah, they both picked up – they both ended up pretty high on the list as far as their position rankings. We'll get into some of that later on, but they did both finish super high in position rankings. I think Garrett still might have finished first at his position. I'm not positive how will the season will end, but I also think he gave up the Defensive Player of the Year award yesterday. Where do you guys stand?
I mean, I don't know that he gave it away, but – I mean, I think Watt took it, and maybe Baker gave it away.
I was going to say, I don't know if it was.
Ben didn't play well. He threw for like 120 yards and a touchdown and an interception. It's not like he
on was 48 great. Attempts.
They did this crazy thing where they just double teamed Miles every single play, and we didn't do that. And I don't know.
But the funny thing about TJ Watt, though, is he makes up like half his career. Half of his year's stats against us. He gets like four sacks and like three forced fumbles against us. But then the rest of the league, he's like quiet.
Right.
But, so then the end of the year, they're like, well, you had eight sacks and all of a sudden. I'm like, it was all against the Browns.
He did. Did he set the record? He set the did he set
no,
the
he did,
record
he did. Yesterday. He did. He's short. It. He's short.
No, he needs, I think, two or three next week.
For the but Steelers record, I was just thinking of the Steelers record.
They said no, it was, it's
are we Porter or
no, it's no Strahan's
Strahan's record.
No, the Steelers record.
Oh, that maybe. Probably.
I thought he set the Steelers record for the most sacks in a season over Porter. Either that or he's just fell short.
I think him and JJ are the only two players to have two 20-plus seasons, which is insane.
So so TJ Watt is a sack and a half away from Michael Stahan's record, but I think he may have surpassed Joey Porter's record, which was something like 20 sacks in a season for the Steelers. I guess that was probably like 20 years ago already now. But
the one thing that they were saying about like TJ Watt, they were like, oh yeah, but you know, there's an extra game in the season, but he was out for 3 games, I think. So he did that in 14 games.
That's so depressing. Yeah. And
let's move on from TJ Watt, please.
I like Dale's point of TJ Watt took it, but I guess what I was thinking was essentially they were sort of fighting neck and neck, and there are one or two more guys that are in the running. But yesterday, even though Garrett played pretty well and had a lot of pressures, he just couldn't get Ben down. And then on the other side, everybody's watching right at the end of the season, sort of last impressions, Monday Night Football, a giant TJ Watt game. And they're so close. I think that it will probably sway the jury a little bit.
Can I just play a quick game with you real quick? Let me tell you what we did and what they did. They double team Garrett and chip and keep on him with multiple blockers. We left a rookie alone against TJ Watt. And that was it. No chips.
Right,
no
but nobody
help, just a rookie.
I just think people are watching
TJ Watt.
And they're just gonna see that though. Like I said, I think it's just last impressions. When people vote, they're gonna be thinking of this game.
Well, right. That's what I'm saying. He pads his stats against the Browns, and he's like, "Look what I did this year." Nah, you did that all in one game.
It certainly helps.
But also, he's the leading lineup offsides end in the league. So
I feel like I've heard this before.
All right, I'm pouring another drink until we get off TJ Watt.
Okay, we're off TJ Watt. That was all I would ever want to talk about TJ Watt. Whew, that's almost all I want to talk about. My gosh, this was a fatiguing podcast. So, in closing, we need an offensive coordinator, or we need our head coach and OC to do what our defensive coordinator did, and that is adjust, learn, improve. I got a lot of credit at the bar joking with some of the guys about Joe Woods, where they were like, "Chad, you called it. Hold it out on Joe Woods. He did turn out good." And I laughed and took the credit, even though the reality was all I said was, I just don't want to judge Joe Woods until 2 months of the season pass. I don't think I ever even anticipated that he would be good. I think I was just ready to wait. But I think at least it looks like he's improving and he can be here for next year. The defensive players look young and great. Yesterday, I don't know how they kept battling, to be honest, and they gave it up at the end, but that had been tiring and frustrating when you're doing all that and you're getting nothing from your offense to go back on it. So, you know, it's one side of the ball. We have to improve in our passing, in our receiving, and in our play calling. The only thing going good is our running game, and really we have to find a way to utilize it more. Does next week, normally we'd go into next week's opponent and matchup. Does it even matter? I mean, the Bengals are so much better than us. They have a great running back. They have 3 receivers who are all probably better than our best receiver. And their quarterback is playing lights out right now. And their defense somehow is coming around way quicker than I ever anticipated. Is there any reason besides they just sit half their team that they don't just crush us next week?
I don't see how they don't. I saw a tweet from someone. I wish I could give him proper credit. It was basically like Joe Burrow is who we thought Baker Mayfield would be. Underrated guy with the chip on his shoulder who is cocky and talented
and wants to be Jim's fantasy team.
Can kind of see where they both ended up. But yeah, Chad, I don't know. I'm going to have to look at some lines on this. Maybe at the very least there's some money to be made on the Browns just not even coming close to covering. I can't even – it's got to be close to a 10-point line.
The sad news is if we had won this game, even somehow they had shown up and played a mediocre game and beat the very mediocre Steelers – I would be hyped up like, wow, we usually play our best game against the Bengals. But I think it already looked on the field yesterday like half the team is so worn down. And now that they know they're out of it, they're just out of it, which is hard to blame. I mean, it's not like any of us haven't been in a situation where we knew it was a no-win situation and just couldn't give it our all. But, you know, it sucks for the fans. It sucks for us. But Mixon's having a good year. I mean, I don't know. What's the point? Bengals, 35. Browns, 10.
How does either team play any of their starters? I wouldn't put anybody worth
playing. There's got to be some. The Bengals have been locked. Are they locked on?
No, the Vegas line is like really seeding. Close. The Vegas, I think Vegas has us minus like 1.5. So it's like,
yeah.
I think they're assuming that everyone's going to rest players.
Right, you're right. They're not locked. They're locked in the playoffs because they won the division.
Right,
but they're not locked in seeding. But it's close. I think they would need some weird things to happen to bump up at all.
Yeah, I'm seeing +3 for us right now, at least on DraftKings. I'm sure it's all over the place. I'd like to see where that ends. That's definitely going to change as more information comes out as to who's playing and who's not playing.
Yeah, who do you guys want to play next week at quarterback? Are you more interested in Case Keenum playing a game or no. Seeing what Nick Mullins does?
Nick Mullins.
It doesn't matter. Mullins. Fire them both into the sun. It's irrelevant.
I'm somewhat interested in Nick Mullins just because I feel like we're going to have to pick a backup quarterback next year.
Fuck it. Put your injury in.
Yeah, and I want to be able to be right or wrong on if Nick Mullins is good or not. So play him.
Yeah. Also, I mean, we'll have to enter this conversation next week, but do we draft a quarterback in the draft, even like a third or fourth rounder? No?
There aren't any.
No, I like the Cincinnati
quarterback class.
I like the Cincinnati.
Kenny Pickett might be available for us when we pick. Like, yeah. they are very much talking about a quarterback not going in the first round.
And I'm sure two will, just because it's a desperate quarterback world. But
that's the narrative that, you know, people want you to. Oh, you got a quarterback. You'll see people talking up quarterbacks that have no business being talked up.
Yeah. And there has been a year or two where quarterbacks didn't go, where people thought, you know, somebody's going to move up in the first round because they're desperate and only maybe one goes in the first round. But I have a hard time believing there won't be one or two just because it seems to always happen. But we'll take a look at those quarterbacks later. I honestly don't know him that well. I know the Pitt kid is really highly touted. And then I know, like you said, Chip, a lot of people really love the Cincy kid. He's done a lot there, but I don't know. Do any of them make you think like, wow, this guy is just the next franchise guy? We'll see. I'll talk to somebody way smarter than me at quarterbacks when it gets to that point, but certainly not now. You guys got anything else to hit? I know, how'd that Cavs game end? Somebody up.
Oh, dude, I watched it live. It was a brutal ending, but I mean, I don't want to be hard on the Cavs because I love what they're doing this season, but I just watched what happened. It was a tie game against Memphis, and final 30 seconds, one of our young point guards, his name isn't crossing my mind right now. He was been stepping in and doing really good lately, and he went to go through a pass to Garland, and Ja Morant picked it off, took the lead, and we just weren't able to come back in the final 30 seconds of the game, and it just dwindled away until we lost. But I mean, this is just a regular season game. Cavs are still over 500. We're still, the fourth or fifth in the East, and we're doing really good. We look really good. We've got Rondo coming in pretty soon.
Wasn't this Garland's first game back in a little bit?
It was Garland's first big year.
27-10.
And we've been beaten. Mobley's been out a little bit, and now we've been decimated. Season, they're trying to re-identify themselves.
We had struggles with the COVID, and like to Dale's point, this was Garland's first game back, and in fact, he only had one practice because he's been struggling. So, and he still, what did he put up? Did you get a stat line?
Garland was 27-10.
Yeah, so I mean, he's still, yeah, we missed Garland. Yeah.
I still think the point you made earlier today, Chip, of we have Mobley, Allen and Garland sitting on this team for a while is all I need to see to be pretty optimistic. And that doesn't even count Okoro or whatever.
These are also likable, good chemistry guys. You know, they're not me guys. They're good team players, and they know how to win, and they play both sides of the ball.
I wish I could be as excited about the talent on the Browns team, and I guess in some ways on the defense I am, but I know that just doesn't win like some of the guys on the other side of the ball do. But I wish I could be as excited about what they have going on as I am to what the Cavs have going on right now. I love these young guys, and I feel like this is such a good situation for them to grow into, something that could be really fun for a lot of years.
Look, you can't get Cavs tickets. It's hard now. I know some guys that will sell some seats down low. They're sold out for the year.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I wish I could have made one when I was home, but that was never going to happen. So, all right, guys, I'm ready to close it up. Any last thoughts?
Yeah. I'm excited for the 2022 year. Hopefully it's better than the last 2 years.
Yeah, it's
go Bills. We're still in it.
And what do you mean, weird?
It's looking like it's going to be a shaky January, but I think maybe
Jim's Bills and Chad's Chargers are
my Rams. My Rams.
Chad's a Rams guy.
I was a Rams guy. Yeah, I always just downplay the Rams because Chip got so excited about them that I didn't want to.
See, that's the funny thing about us. As soon as we know the other guy likes something, we have to contradict it and be evil against it. We're like,
So I was rooting for the Chargers a lot, and when they moved from San Diego to L.A., I was like, I'm not cheering for them in L.A. I'll cheer for the Rams. And I immediately was like, Rams used to be a Cleveland team. And so for the last 3 years, I've been pretty diligently watching the Rams.
Yeah, they were my, like, joke NFC team, as if originally starting in Cleveland really, truly meant something to me, even though it really never did.
I would like to see Aaron Donald get his
ring. 140.
Donald deserves his ring, man. That's one hell of a defensive tackle for this league.
No.
Screw that team.
I want to say screw them, but honestly, I need a team to cheer for besides the Browns, and I would prefer they were an NFC team anyway, and they're close enough to go to a game. Like, we went 2 years ago to watch the Rams-New Orleans game, and I thought, this is what I need. Another team to root for besides the Browns. And everyone needs a side team. At the time, I thought the Browns were going to be good, so I thought, I don't want to be an AFC team because I don't want to run into each other, so I'll just pick NFC, and that's what I went with. To be honest, don't tell Kat, but I was really starting to get into the Saints until I started dating Kat, and then she was never going to let that happen, so I was like, okay, new team, Rams. So, yeah, but you're right, Jim. It's 2022. I think January is going to be a rough month between sports and COVID and all this other garbage. I think January will be tough. I'm looking forward to and my new diet. Ugh. But February on, bring it on. 2022. Let's go.
Yes, 2022. Also, really quick, I know it's cliche, but to your diet point, I also started my own little workout routine, and I'm gonna try to do this whole thing here throughout the year, even though I've only made it 2 days. But I'm proud of these 2 days. I may forget about this next week. But it's been a two strong days, Chad.
So we'll check in. We'll get a status update.
Yeah,
me, it's been like 14 hours. And I'm already regretting everything about this stupid low-carb diet. But we'll try to keep each other encouraged. I'm not coming off it because I'm doing it with Katie. He's never going to let me not finish this with her, so it's happening one way or another. So
if anybody's wondering about our extensive knowledge in workout and diet, we've made it not 48 hours yet between the two of us,
and we're still already talking about it like it's an amazing accomplishment. So that's
right.
And just like the Browns, there's always next year. So we'll still
there's always next year. Yeah, I can always. Yeah.
All right. And on that note, I'm not sure a better way to end it. I'll see you guys next week, and we'll talk a little bit about next year.
Definitely. Thank you all for listening. I'll talk to you guys.
Bye-bye, guys.